Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
5:30 on Fridays here on The Fan. It will be Joey Harrington in studio. The world famous NFL quarterback, former Oregon Duck, handsome lad, and a man who was almost run over by us at Black Butte 2 weeks ago.
Well, had it not been for my nimble maneuvering, this segment would not be happening.
It wouldn't, and I'd probably be in jail. Now, here's the thing.
Why aren't you, by the way?
That's a good question. I'm quite lucky.
I'm gonna investigate that when we get done.
So you were at Black Butte.
Indeed.
And we stop at a four-way stop.
Okay.
And here comes this guy on one of those hoverboard, like, golf cart things?
A golf board, but go ahead.
Is that what they're called?
Let's call it a golf board.
See, I'm
board.
Hip. I know.
I'm hip. I'm cool.
Okay, so golf board thing.
Golf board thing.
And he's got two kids on the front, and he's got his golf bag hanging off of his shoulder. And we almost run him over. Mm-hmm. A little confusion as to who stopped first, but it's neither here nor there. Likely my fault. It was Joey Harrington. Unbelievable. What is that thing?
Well, that, as my friend from... Christmas Story, the dad from Christmas Story would say, it's a major award. It's a major award. I won that. So at the, that's not a major award. That looks like a lamp. Well, it is a lamp, but I won it. You say you won that? Battle at Bandon, Safeway Foundation, Battle at Bandon this year. You've played.
Love that. Great tournament.
We had an incredible sponsor, a generous gift from Pepsi that bought and donated a golf board, a local company out of Bend, and I'm sure you've seen them, as a prize for one of our events.
They have them at Tetherow.
They do. That's where they started, actually. There you go. And so, lo and behold, you know, I might have hit a 65-yard wedge shot to about, you know, 2.5 feet.
Nice.
To walk away with that board. And so, you know, I was like, well, I might as well just, you know, just keep it over there. And so,
that's smart.
We were just, you know, just tootling around. I had the boys. My wife was running Hood to Coast. It was just me and the guys over there. And so I was like, hey, let's go, let's ride this thing down to the course, play a little quick nine, and then ride back. And it was a lot of fun.
What's the verdict? Are those things worthwhile on the course?
It is a fantastically fun mode of transportation. I'm a purist. I mean, if I'm speaking honestly, I'm a walker. I like to walk when I'm playing golf.
I do too.
But it's a great way just to play a quick round, to have some fun. And, you know, I got two kids that I would love to have them play golf as they get older. And it's a fun way to kind of get them out there. Like, hey, let's go play nine holes. And my youngest is like, oh, Dad, I don't want to. Hey, you can ride the golf board. All right, let's go.
Boom.
I'm in.
Boom.
And then he hits two good shots. And he's like, hey, Dad, can we go play golf again?
Hell yeah.
Yes.
Got him hooked.
He's hooked.
I love it. Well, Joey's going to be with us every Friday from 5:30 to 6 again, exclusively here on The Fan during football season. It's brought to you by BMW of Portland, Portland's only BMW dealer where relationships matter, BMWPortland.com. I want to get to some Antonio Brown discussion with you, but let's start with Oregon-Auburn. The Oregon loss to Auburn was blank to you.
Ooh, wow. What's that game show that Alec Baldwin hosts right now, the remake, right?
I don't know.
I think it's, I can't remember. It just reminded me of that. Sorry, my mind is all over the place.
You're playing
right
a
now.
Game show right now.
There you go. The Oregon loss was frustrating.
Yeah. It really was.
And I won't say deflating, and I'm not going to go jump off a cliff here because let's be honest. Has the Pac-12 had a one loss representative in the tournament or in the college football playoff for the last couple of years? No, they haven't. But that's not to say that with Washington's transfer quarterback and the way they looked the first week and Stanford playing well and Washington State playing well, that the Pac-12 can't be a respectable conference at the end of the season. Now, that being said, there are always, and there have always been, one-loss teams in the playoff. So, if your loss at the end of the year is to an SEC team on the road, you know, that's a respectable loss. It doesn't take anything away from Pac-12 play. It doesn't take anything away from the Rose Bowl. But if you're coming at it from a national championship perspective, does it put a dent in it? Sure. Can you make any other mistakes? No. But you're not going to go jump off a cliff right now. I think the more frustrating thing for me is, and I understand 16 of your top 17 wide receivers were gone. Right. That, and Coach Cristobal is trying to establish an identity and a toughness, and we're going to run the football and we're going to be smash mouth and, you know, a strength coach, and everything is about to get that. And I understand that you had a 21-6 lead and you're trying to do the, let's call it, smart thing by milking the clock and playing that game. But at a certain point, you have to say, or at least, you know, my perspective is you've got the best, arguably the best quarterback in the country who decided to come back for his senior year. Put it in his hands. And that was the part that got me, was the fact that it felt like it was never put in Justin's hands. And I was so encouraged. The first drive of the game. Go down, third and goal, rolls to the right, nothing open. What does he do? Last year, throws it out of the back of the end zone. This year, tucks his shoulder and goes for it. Called the touchdown originally, reversed the call, so fourth down on the half-yard line. That's a moot point. The point is that he put the team on his back and said, I don't care what's going on right now. I'm going to get in the end zone. This is why I'm back. This is why you believe in me. This is why I'm going to be the first pick of the draft. From that moment, I thought, okay, here we go. He's got it. This was the missing, you know, we've talked about Herbert has every physical tool out there. He's 6'6", 235 pounds, runs like a deer, can make every throw. But there was always that little piece, like he hadn't been given a chance to say, this is my team, get out of my way. That was it. And then he didn't get a chance to finish it. And I think that was frustrating.
So this is Joey Harrington in studio with us on The Fan every Friday. Now, there is some debate as to how much slack on the rope he has versus how much he just can do his own thing. Or maybe I'm saying the same thing. But in other words, you've been in his shoes. How much are Cristobal and Arroyo letting him read the line of scrimmage and just go, man? Be Justin Herbert. You're good. We trust you. Versus what it kind of seems like sometimes, that they may be holding him back a little bit and he's only generally running what they want.
Well, I can't speak to that. I mean, you can't sit on a TV screen and watch and truly know. But you would think at this point that you would, because there's certain ways to do it. There's a way to, you know, you can tell your quarterback, hey, at any time you can change a play. That rarely happens in college football. That rarely happens. You know, a guy like Aaron Rodgers will do it, you know, once you get into the NFL for a decade.
Did you do it?
In college? Well, that's what I was going to say, is how you do it. Most teams do it in college is they'll put it in some sort of package format, right? So I've got a run to the left. I got a run to the, you know, I got a strong side run, a weak side run, and I have a pass, right? And based on what the defense is showing you, then you make the decision and you go. It's a lot of that stuff, you know, that's big, you know, Ronald McDonald and, you know, butterflies and, you know, golf clubs on the big sign on
the giant signs.
On the giant signs, exactly. A lot of that stuff comes from the booth now and they hold up the sign and then they go. I don't know. I think when I say that I would have liked to see them put it in the hands of Justin, I would have liked to see him call
down more downfield.
Yeah, when he did throw the ball, it was extremely short.
Yep.
It almost fell into, you know, it's called a 4-minute offense, right? Where you are trying to run the clock all the way down, snap the ball with 2 seconds left, and you're either generally running the ball in first and second, or you're throwing short, conservative passes to get 2 or 3 yards, maybe spring one, but keep the clock running. In the first half, they they did a really nice job of mixing up the play calls. And what was happening is, you know, you'd put Justin on the edge, you'd give him an opportunity to hit the guy in the flat, you give him an opportunity to run, you were changing his launch point. They did a really nice job of mixing things up. And they did it probably because they were down so many wide receivers. In the second half, it just kind of got stale. And Auburn did a nice job of shifting to a man coverage, a press coverage, to disrupt the release of the wide receivers at the line of scrimmage. And I don't think that Oregon adjusted as well and gave Justin the opportunities to still make, because there's still ways to make those plays, right? There's still ways to make those calls, to give Justin the opportunity to be the guy. And that's the frustrating part is he comes back to be the guy. Let him be the guy.
Especially that game.
Yes.
Right? This is Joe Harrington in studio. We'll talk about in-game management for the Ducks staff. Excuses or just explanations? And then I want to get to some Antonio Brown. We'll do that on the other side when we return here on The Fan. All right, we're back in studio. Joey Harrington, former Duck quarterback, played in the NFL many, many years. He is with us every Friday here on 1080 The Fan, brought to you by BMW of Portland. Tune in every Friday at 5:30. So the Ducks staff, you were talking about Herbert and not unleashing him. And I think Marcus Arroyo admitted, he said, you know, after the game, I thought he was very honest. Actually, it was the next, I think it was Monday. He said, hey, I think we should have just trusted those receivers a little bit more. So yeah. I think we all agree there, including Arroyo. Explanations for why something happened often get viewed as excuses. But in my opinion, this staff, Cristobal, Arroyo, and even Avalos to some extent, are pretty inexperienced. And I wonder, with your perspective in the NFL too, having played for a lot of different coordinators, head coaches, in your experience in football, there's no handbook for in-game management. You just have to experience it. Is it an excuse to say that this staff is just, they're a little green and they'll learn, they'll get better? Or is it a flaw that in-game management and little issues like that keep coming up and in this case cost them another big game?
I disagree with the idea that in-game management cost them this game. I think the core, you know, what people were talking about was, you know, snap. Well, if you snapped it at 15 seconds instead of in 2 seconds, well, there's your 13 seconds, which shouldn't have been on the clock at the end of the game. And then you burned a timeout because you called two in a row and because they didn't understand the rule. That's all a moot point for me, right? The what I think lost this game is the fact that they, I don't want to say they got conservative, but at the end of the third quarter with a 2-touchdown lead, they went into essentially a 4-minute mode. And so I think you can look back and draw all those, well, 9 seconds wouldn't have been there if he would have done this and then he would have done that. Yeah, there are a lot of mistakes during the game, but I don't think in-game management cost them this game.
See, I think what you're saying, we probably just have two different definitions. I think that in-game management is what you're talking about in terms of reading the game, understanding, hey, how are we going to finish this off? Having that knack.
Okay, but see, you see it as in-game management and I see it as coach trying to establish a culture. Right. So what, from my perspective, what I saw was a team with a 21-6 lead who had had some success running the football. CJ Verdell had done a really nice job running downhill. Dye had been a nice change of pace. You got a veteran offensive line. And Cristobal has said this numerous times that I'm going to instill a culture of toughness. And so to me, it looked like a coach trying to instill a culture of toughness and let's pound it down their throat. Right. Let's pound it. Short pass. Pound it. And I just don't think it worked. Right. I think that took the momentum. I think that deflated the energy that they had. And I don't think that's mismanagement or in-game mismanagement.
Stubborn?
Potentially. Maybe you could call it that. I think of mismanagement of a game being, you know, burning 2 timeouts and had they needed a timeout at the end of the game and didn't have one. That's mismanagement to me. To me, this was just, maybe it was, I mean, is that the right word? I don't know.
It's
I don't
a failure
know.
To read the
because
game.
Because I think of stubborn and doing it over and over and over and over and over and over and over.
Well, especially 4th and inches.
Right.
With Shuck in there. What about that play? I mean, that's the quintessential play that you're talking about. I mean, everybody, Auburn sold out on that play. Everybody knew what they were running, and it's Cristobal saying, nope, we've got this offensive line. Our quarterback's on the sideline. Go get it. And it's,
well,
in the end, it's a mistake.
It's a mistake because it didn't work.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, that's true.
Right.
That's
and
true.
If they do get 6 inches, then it is a it's an affirmation of that toughness they're trying to establish.
No question. And what I was saying about that is it's like sometimes we expect the right decision every time as fans, and it's ridiculous to do that. I mean, coaches are going to make mistakes. My whole point with this is it's, I don't know if it's an excuse or it's just an explanation for why they lost. I think it's more of an explanation for why they lost. I just feel like this coaching staff can get much better in game, reading the game, play calling with Arroyo, Cristobal, clock management, just things
agreed.
Like this. These are little things that can cost you games, and I just think they're a little green.
I would agree with that statement.
You know,
I don't think that cost them this game.
Okay.
But I do. But I would agree with that statement.
Hangover effect, you played. I mean, can a really tough loss like that out of the gate, and then you got an opponent that you should beat, 3 touchdown favorites. Is it easier for that loss to linger, or is it easier to bounce back because you're so pissed about that loss?
I think that this next game will tell us a lot about this Duck team. If they come back and put it to Nevada, It's gonna be in the rearview mirror, and this is gonna be a good team. If they come out and struggle, remember a couple years ago, it wasn't Cal Northridge, but it was
UC Davis.
UC Davis, yes, where they just didn't look sharp,
mm-hmm.
And you could chalk it up to like, oh, first game. I think you're gonna see you'll be able to tell a lot about this team from this next game. I think you'll be able to see a lot of talent. You know, what you'll be able to tell, how good is this defense, right? How good is this defense really? Because they look pretty fantastic for 3 quarters against Auburn. You'll be able to see, okay, how good is this offensive line? Are they just dominating up front? And I think that's going to be more of the, because yeah, like I said at the beginning, this was a tough loss, but it doesn't derail the season by any means. And I know for a fact that the players don't feel that way. So I don't think this week's performance is going to be hangover effect. I think you'll be able to see what kind of team this Oregon squad is going to be this year.
Well, it looks like Antonio Brown is back. He unfollows Derek Carr and the Raiders on Instagram. Everybody thinks it's over. Raiders hold all the cards. They're probably
Instagram is the determining factor.
That's a headline.
Uh-huh.
So the Raiders hold all the cards. They're probably going to, he's screwed up enough this preseason that they're just going to boot him and void the contract. Lo and behold, Drew Rosenhaus gets a hold of him, says, hey, you realize you have to make it to week 1 to get paid. We have tearful apology. How often do you see this in the NFL? This is a pretty extreme example, but when you played, how many guys are like this? And did they screw up in how they handled this? I get he's a prima donna and he's a pain in the ass, but at the same time, that guy puts up numbers when he's on the field. Isn't there some placating that needs to happen?
Well, it's an interesting point. There are two questions. One, how many guys are like this? And this, I'm going to qualify as knuckleheads. I'd say 37%.
That's high.
Yeah.
There's a lot of them.
Because you gotta be a bit of a knucklehead to play football, right?
True.
Let's be honest, right?
Good point.
You gotta be a bit of a knucklehead to throw your body against a brick wall. But you had to know if you're the Raiders what you're getting into, right? And I saw an interesting article today about how, just this exact point, that this isn't a unique explosion from Antonio Brown. This is something that Pittsburgh had been allowing to happen really since 2012 was the incident they started with when he got his first contract extension and then came out and got into a fight with Dick LeBeau. Like, of all people to get into a fight with, one of the most respected coaches in the history of football.
Wasn't he yelling at LeBeau, like, you can't stop me, you can't cover me, or you can't touch, don't touch
yeah,
me,
don't
I'm
touch
the star.
Me, I'm the franchise.
Yeah.
And so from that point on, it's that delicate balance of, I heard Scott Van Pelt last night go off on this, and it's not about you know, it's always turned into a everybody's against me type of thing. And I'm always the victim. Well, you know, right now, no, it's not. You know, just deal with your medicine. You've created this. However, he said at the end was the last time I'm going to give you, how do you put it? I'm going to give you three numbers, 14, 185, and 2. The last time Antonio Brown was on the field, he had 14 catches for 185 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Right.
And so how do you balance that?
It's not like he's a lazy guy that you don't know what you're getting. He works hard.
Yes.
And when he's out there, he puts up numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess
it's Terrell Owens. I mean, it is the exact situation of Terrell Owens. You know what you're getting, but as soon as he, and you know that you're getting a guy who works, nobody Owens. That guy practiced like, oh my God, he was unlike any other at practice, but he was a handful to deal
with. So ultimately, is it worth it to have a guy like that?
I'll tell you at the end of the year.
Yeah. I don't even think the Raiders are in. I mean, they're not talking Super Bowl anyway, so it may just be better to be done with him, but they're not going to because Gruden wants him. So
this is a whole other show. This is a whole other. I'm guessing we're going to talk about this again at some point this year.
It'll come up.
Okay.
Thank you, sir. Good to see you.
Good to see you as well.
Joey Harrington will be in studio with us every Friday at 5:30, and it's courtesy of BMW of Portland, Portland's only BMW dealer where relationships matter. BMWPortland.com. All right, coming up next in the club, there's a woman suing her neighbor for horrifying acts. What could they have done so awful? We'll get to it next on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.